This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I wouldn't expect you to understand, though if you do understand, we may be kindred spirits. I forgot both my phone and my sweater at home before I came into work. Now, the weird thing about the phone is that I went all last week and ignored the phone on most cases. I left it in the room in my Airbnb when I took the dog for a walk, when I went swimming, when I went to the beach, when I went biking. I didn't take my phone. It was hiding somewhere, and I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was good, except for my family, of course. But I forget my phone on my first night back to work, and I feel like I'm missing a finger. I'm not going to tell you which finger. So that's kind of weird. Now that I've shifted right back into time is money mode, and my schedule is so controlled and so rigid, now not having my phone feels like something's missing. Also, do you think it's true that if you leave your phone on a charger for hours when it's fully charged, that it drains your battery? Because that could be a problem. That's why I forgot my phone. It was upstairs charging, and I forgot to grab it off the charger. So, you know, not only do I not have my phone in case, like, the man of my dreams decides to call me.
Oh,
I don't know how you get my number. Not you, Tony Romo. But also, it's going to be, I'm ruining it hour by hour because it's sitting on a charger, fully charged. So, yeah, that's bothering me, my anal retentive brain. But the sweater thing is also critical because every other person who works at this network feels the need to blast the air condition so you feel as though you were in a freezer. So, yeah, those two distractions are working against me on this edition of the show, but I will not be defeated. I will not be reduced to a distracted mush. Instead, we'll do four highly focused and concentrated, determined, desperate hours of sports radio. Chris just shot me a look like, what are you talking about? Chris is with us tonight. We've had a revolving door of producers. Actually, if you must know, I won't let the two guys who worked with me last night come back because they heard Yanny instead of Laurel. That was it. If you heard Yanny instead of Laurel, you're no longer allowed to work on the show. That's all I'm saying. I know that you understand. For those of you who listen, do you understand? So Tom is on vacation still, I believe. I'm not sure if he's back yet. We don't actually keep tabs when we're not here. Isaac and I keep tabs, though, and Isaac is back. So he is returned from, where were you last night?
At a concert.
Oh, at a concert. I mean, when the boss goes away, I'm not the boss. I can't even call myself that. When I go on vacation, things just all kind of fall apart. So I was back and Isaac forgot to return. He went to a concert instead, but Tom's still not back. So now there's two of the three of us that are here. Chris, though, is hanging out and he loves social media. So watch out. Your social media is about to blow up. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or me, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Thank you again for all of your vacation tweets. I woke up to another 100 guesses as to where I took my vacation, even though I had revealed it on both Twitter and Facebook, but people didn't see that tweet, I guess. We're actually going to spin the vacation theme forward on this show because it's almost Memorial Day weekend. How is that possible? How did we get to vacation season? The unofficial start to the summer. Maybe it feels weird because so much of the United States had a long, long winter, colder than normal temperatures deep into April. So we're going to get you in vacation mood, vacation vibes. Ooh, that's going to be the hashtag right there. As we say farewell to Monday and move forward into a Twitter Tuesday, we'll talk a little vacay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I was joking on last night's show about how we had a West Coast bias because the games that we were talking about the most, the games that were centering of the circus, were coming from the Western Conference. And as it turns out, we're now lined up. Now, it may not be this way for long because the NHL and the NBA are on different schedules as we get close to the championship series. But at least for now, we've got West Coast playing together. And then we've got the East Coast on Monday night. So the attention is shifting back to the Eastern Conference postseason. And now tonight, 24 hours later, we have an East Coast bias. We will get to hoops. Oh, yes, we will. But I have two words for you. Game seven.
To the blue line and back down the wall. In front. Oh, she scores! It's 1-0 Washington! And for Hedman, broken up and sent by Beagle towards center. Backstrom now will be the trailer into the zone, and a shot here. They score! T.J. Oshie into the empty nets. We will see you in Tampa Bay on Wednesday night. It is 3-0 Washington!
On Wednesday night! Ooh, that hurts. John Walton is fantastic. I love his calls on the Capitals radio network, but the guy was so intense, as were the Capitals. Did you notice? Of course you did. If you watch this game in D.C., the Capitals played like their pants were on fire. Like if they didn't play and skate and hit and pass and score for as though their lives depended on it. that essentially they'd be making tea times because that was the truth. This was an elimination game and their play reflected it. And I did think it was interesting afterwards to hear some of the guys say, I don't think we play with desperation. That's a bunch of BS. This team played like they were determined that the season was not ending here. If they played like that every game, if they play like that in game seven, they're moving on to the Stanley Cup final to take on the Golden Knights. And one of the things that stood out from Alex Ovechkin on down through the roster, hit after hit after hit after hit. They were physical. They were not a finesse team. They were hitting the Lightning. So really physical display by the Washington Capitals. And I was a nervous wreck in the third period, just in the tension at the point that it was a 1-0 game early in the third period. Braden Holtby was fantastic. So Braden ends up with his first shutout of the season. Not first playoff shutout, first shutout of the year. So this was a total team effort, but again, it really did start the tone set by Alex Ovechkin, the captain, the way that he was hitting guys through a scoreless first period, and it was extremely physical and took its toll on their bodies. I heard a couple of the players talk about how it was warm in the arena as well. Of course, it was a gorgeous day in the Northeast, and so D.C. would have had temperatures up in the 80s, and just that plus the pace and the pounding of this game six definitely takes its toll. So congratulations to the Capitals. They have righted the ship here, and we're tied in this series against the Bolts 3-3. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking about this a bunch during the postseason. It's pretty obvious the ebbs and the flows of the playoffs when one team comes in with intensity and fire and determination and very often a desperation. It's obvious because the intensity level is so much higher. And you can tell when it's not matched by the opponent. And John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, could tell that his team did not have the same intensity as the Caps.
We didn't play with the near desperation they did. Was it a fairly even game? There's no question, but I mean, what were hits, 39-19? Somebody was engaged and somebody wasn't. And, you know, that's a choice.
Somebody was engaged and somebody wasn't, and that's a choice. Ah, drop the hammer, John Cooper. That is so true. The Capitals were not only engaged, but they were making sure that the Lightning had nothing easy. Everything was challenged. Everything was about being aggressive and attacking. And Tampa Bay had no answer for the physicality. Now, you don't always get that from the Capitals. The question becomes now, will we get it in game number 7? So on Wednesday night, a game 7 on Wednesday night, which is awesome. There are no better words in sports. We're not quite to the point at which we're thinking about a game 7 between the Celtics and the Cavaliers, though it has become a best of 3. Now, a couple of things. We'll get to the highlights and the post-game reaction, the history from game 4 in Cleveland coming up after our first break. But something to consider. The Celtics are perfect at home during the playoffs so far. All right, they are the higher seed, which means if this goes to a game 7, the Celtics will be the team that's hosting. But here's the other side of that, the flip side of the coin. They've only won a single game on the road during the playoffs.
Got mashed.
So the fact that they have been the higher seed in all 3 of their series, right? The only team that was a higher seed was the Raptors, who were out last round, and they were facing the Cavaliers. So the Celtics being able to host a game 7, having the home court advantage, is humongous. Because so far, they're unable to win on the road, except for the 1 game against Philadelphia. So here we are. Here we are kind of thinking ahead. I am. You know, I don't do a ton of hypotheticals, but this one kind of jumps off the page at you because the Cavaliers just protected their home court and did it by amping up their intensity level, by taking advantage of Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup. That was a move that Ty Lue pulled out again that has worked in the 2 games in Cleveland, by being physical, by diving on the court for loose balls. We're talking about hustle stats for days, by building a lead and protecting it. The defense for the Cavaliers, so much better in Cleveland than it was in the 2 games in Boston. So if the Celtics haven't lost at home in the playoffs, but they still haven't shown much of an ability to win on the road, what does that mean for this series? Wednesday night! I can't wait till it's Wednesday night. Not only because there's a game 7, because we'll be just a few hours from the weekend at that point. All right, we are just getting started. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. As I say, we're going to reveal your choice for Man Crush Monday, hashtag MCM, and then we'll dive into our Twitter Tuesday question. But I'd love to hear your reaction to a game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals on the ice, and also what you saw in the Celtics-Cavaliers game 4. That's what we'll start with after the break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
As here's LeBron James. He's watched by Morris, playing with 5 fouls. LeBron right at him to the basket, floated it up, and floated it in. Cavaliers by 15, 105 to go here in the third. Out comes LeBron. The Cavs have a 102-93 lead, 345 to go. LeBron behind his back on Smart. Lobs one toward Thompson, tipped by Smart, saved it, but it comes to LeBron, and he banks it in. Oh, my goodness. The entry pass was knocked away, but saved from going over the sideline right back to LeBron, who was in the paint. And now Brad Stevens takes a timeout. Oh, what a sequence there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Michael with the calls on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Cavs were able to build a lead and then hang on to it and beat back the most serious challenges from the Celtics. If you're a Celtics fan, you're watching this game, there were times when you wanted to just pound your head against the wall. There were so many missed opportunities. Any game in which there are multiple missed dunks, there are chances for you to just go, yeah, and let it all out. The Celtics, I think there are positives here because they can say, okay, you know what? We only lost by single digits. It's the first time in the conference finals, either East or West, that the final margin of victory in a game has been anything under 13. So it was a single digit loss for the Celtics, even though they barely shot 40%. And as I say, missed a ton of dunks and really defensively had long stretches where they were getting clobbered. All right, so the Cavaliers were having their way offensively. But if you're the Cavaliers, you can look at it and say, you know what? We actually found our defensive stride. We shot 50% against a Celtics team that is known for its attention and commitment to defense. And in addition, the Cavaliers only hit 8 of 23 triples and still won game number 4.
Nerd alert.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In fact, they missed 8 free throws as well and still ended up with a victory in game number 4 at home. It's gut check time for both the Cavs and the Celtics. Speaking of nerd alert, I found this one. And I may tweet it here in a bit, but I like this stat because it shows you the long odds. Only 20 teams out of 300 have ever rallied to win an NBA playoff series after trailing 0-2. Nerd alert! So only 20 teams out of 300 have ever done it. But are you going to be the one who says LeBron James can't? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We've got Twitter, A-Law Radio, plus our show Twitter is already giving you a sneak peek to our Twitter Tuesday question. Kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but Chris is running our social media tonight, and he loves to do that. You can check out our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I need to look and see whether or not our Man Crush Monday poll has ended. Oh, no, you know what? Still a couple of hours remaining on our MCM poll. And since it's Monday still for a lot of us, you go ahead and you take that. I just retweeted it. So we got a bunch of social media buffoonery that's taking place right now. When it comes to LeBron James, we know what the man can do. There aren't any secrets. There isn't anything he can't try, won't try, can't do on the basketball court. And on Monday night, he was bullying his way to a tie series. And there was a little history along the way. So his 44 points, along with 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 7 turnovers. He was still plus 9, though, even with 7 turnovers. His 44 points were his 7th career 40-point game versus the Celtics. Problem is, LeBron's in the East and the Celtics are in the East. And so he's got a lot of those kinds of numbers against teams in the East over the last, 13 years. They've had plenty of opportunities to see performances like this one. And so James kind of bull rushed his way, bull in a china shop, and I use that as a compliment, to these 44 points. And in doing so, pushed his way past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. What? So the idea behind, and we get this a lot with Tom Brady too, the idea behind the records and climbing these lists, whether it's postseason, whether it's regular season, it's two things. It's not only your skill and your talent, it's also the opportunity, meaning you've got longevity and you've been around and your teams have been relevant. And so sure, it's numbers, but it's more than that. It also speaks to the volume of opportunities. And so here is LeBron moving past Kareem for the most field goals in playoff history.
Nerd alert!
The most made buckets in playoff history. Think about that. Now, I'm not a big fan of the debate who's better, Michael or LeBron, because I don't think we'll ever have an answer. And that's maybe the idea, is people like to debate it because there are multiple opinions. There's multiple ways to look at it. And there's never going to be a consensus. It's about so many factors, what you value, what you grew up with, a bias here, a bias there, right? People love that debate. But there's no disputing that LeBron James has been around and been relevant long enough that he has got some incredible postseason records. I don't know that he's going to own them all by the time he retires. But right now, in NBA playoff history, he ranks first in points, first in field goals made, first in steals, first in free throws made, first in minutes, second in three-pointers made, third in assists. Are you kidding me? And he's not done. And the Cavaliers are not done.
Because I'm the best player in the world.
Here they are now, forcing this to a best of three, right? So we are likely, I mean, I'm always pulling for game sevens. We're likely to get a game seven between the Celtics and the Cavaliers. But for now, tonight, though, it's enough that the series is tied and LeBron himself has got another spot alone in history.
Now listen, anytime I'm in the same breath with the greats, I know you guys hear me say it over and over, it's just humbling. And to know where I come from, you guys know a little bit of the story, but you guys don't know the full story about where I come from and the struggle that I had.
He talks about how he grew up in a small city 35 miles south of Cleveland. And he says, you hear the scoring, the field goals made. But this is a kid that doesn't care much about scoring. And so LeBron now has the challenge of carrying his team, extending this series, having to do it away from Cleveland. All right, so there becomes the crux, as we talked about with the Celtics. Can the Cavaliers win in Boston in game five and potentially close it out in game six? Sure. But we're going to get at least two more games in this series. Whoop, whoop. All right, so we'll get post-game reaction from both Boston and Cleveland coming up. Here's the question I'd like to ask you, though. When it comes to a Game 7, I don't know if we'll get there. I hope, fingers crossed, because, you know, that matters a lot. I hope that we will get there. But are you going to ride or die with LeBron in a Game 7 or ride or die with the Celtics, who have not yet lost at home in these playoffs and who will have a raucous crowd? That'll be a poll question. Of course, the hashtag ride or die gets you bonus points.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thompson collected off the backboard, gives to LeBron. LeBron, good pass to Thompson around before he's up. It appeared that LeBron was going to slow it down as there was only a 5-second difference between shot and game clock. Instead, he launched a 50-foot chest pass that hit Thompson in stride. Cavaliers 68, Celtics 51. Tatum fed a wheel to the corner to Rozier. Gets it there. Rozier now to the foul line down the lane. Blocked by Thompson. Oh, Tristan tacked him down and made the rejection. LeBron James now the other way to the foul line down the lane. Finger roll. He scores. Thompson at one end, James at the other. LeBron has 30, and the Cavaliers have a 78-66 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Michael on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup yet again for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they end up winning. I like the fact that Ty Lue is judicious about when he trots out this particular starting lineup. Now it's happened in these two games that the Cavaliers have won, and it has paid dividends in the games in which Ty Lue has decided to go with Tristan in the starting lineup. He usually comes through with a double-double. So tonight, 13 points, a dozen rebounds, also had a couple of block shots as well as a couple of assists. And he and LeBron do work well together because they've played together now for several years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number, 855-212-4227. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We put up a poll with the hashtag Ride or Die. I suggest you check it out. It is about the Eastern Conference Finals that we've got going on now, a series that's tied 2-2. So the question, you know, I'll let you check it out first, and then we'll maybe expand on it a little bit in a couple of minutes. But the idea is Celtics and Cavaliers now at a best of three if they battle to a game seven. So you can check that out on either our show Twitter or my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Ty Lue, as I said, has used Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup every now and then. And not only did he get a double-double from Thompson in this game four, but in addition, Kyle Korver comes off the bench and has a monster first half. He does not miss in the first half. He, I think, had 14 points. Didn't score in the second half, but provided a major spark in the first half when the Cavs were pulling away from the Celtics, first posting a double-figure lead, and then able to hold them off down the stretch once the Celtics kind of regrouped and I wouldn't say found an offensive rhythm. It was more about just the defense and the way they were fighting hard late in the game, but they had already put themselves into a double digit hole. So the Tristan Thompson component is important, helps to set the tone on defense, but also obviously you have the potential for extra offensive rebounds. He and LeBron work well together, and Ty Lue has been, I think Ty Lue has been so far validated in those moments in which he has chosen to use Thompson in the starting lineup.
He's been great. And the biggest thing, I think, you know, Tristan, he's gotten healthy. When he had the time off, he really did a good job of working on his body, playing 5-on-5 with the guy, staying in shape. And he was a pro about it.
Double-doubles, those are big time. And there is a matchup issue there, of course, as well. You kind of saw how the two coaches, Brad Stevens and Ty Lue, were doing the chess match, right? So depending on when Al Horford was in the game, then sometimes you'd see Tristan Thompson in the game or exit the game at the same time to give those guys a break or to give Tristan a break from having to bang around with Al Horford. Now, speaking of Al is the one guy on the Boston Celtics who has more playoff experience than the rest of the starters put together. He's the one who is the pro's pro. He's the guy who sets the tone. Barely touched the ball in the first half of their game three loss that was a blowout so early on. So a little more active and involved in the offense in this particular game four. But what's so important about him is that he can keep the guys together. He can keep the guys on the same page. He sets the tone with the way that he works. The fact that he doesn't care about the stat line. He just cares about doing things the right way. He's a great leader for this young group, and they certainly need that. And so I'm always interested in what he has to say after the game. And he, like everyone else following game four, was talking about the LeBron James performance.
Obviously his physical abilities, everybody knows that, but he's a very smart player. Like you said, he just knows how to read the game. He has a good feel for it. And he's usually making the right plays.
Yeah, he is usually making the right plays. What does LeBron tell us? He has a high basketball IQ.
I have a huge basketball IQ.
I was close. It's huge, not high. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So
Yes.
Everyone raving about LeBron and the 44 points and the fact that he was extremely efficient. So he was 17 of 28 from the floor. At one point in the game, had missed as many free throws as he had field goals, but 44 points for him. It's not just about LeBron, though, and you hear that with Brad Stevens after the game. He really focused on the defense. And if you know Brad Stevens and what he's about and why this team has been so successful despite the loss of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, two major offensive pieces, well, then you understand how it is that the Celtics got to be the two seed in the East despite losing a pair of All-Stars and then, of course, having other injuries throughout the season. But also the fact that they are so fundamentally sound, generally, not always, but at least they're taught that right way. And that's where Brad Stevens starts. And so he's always focused on the defense and what the Celtics can do to improve on that end of the court. And I mean, I say this a lot, but I'll say it again. It's basketball. Sometimes the shots don't fall. Sometimes the shots just don't go. Ask Steph Curry. One thing that you can control is your effort, your desire, the intensity, the aggressiveness on defense. That's not skill necessarily. I mean, there are skills that you need to play good D. Certainly you need to know the right way to do it. But in terms of the rhythm and the flow, that's not important. On defense, it's just about your effort. And it wasn't there in game number three.
Well, I thought we defended a lot better in the second half. I just didn't think – I thought that, you know, we have to have five guys playing all out and really honed in defensively. In the first half, I didn't think we were as honed in. I thought we were playing hard, but I didn't think we were as honed in. The second half, we were much better. It's the best two out of three to go to the NBA Finals. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, ultimately, you know, anybody that didn't think this was going to be tough, I mean, everything is tough. And, you know, in this deal, it's a blast to have to grit your teeth, get up off the mat, and go after it again. That's part of it. That's part of what makes these guys on both sides special.
Gosh, I love that attitude so much. It's a blast to have to grit your teeth, get up off the mat, and go after it again. In other words, this is a privilege. It's a privilege to be two wins away from the NBA Finals. It's a privilege to be one of the last four teams still playing. That is the attitude that I love from athletes and from coaches. And he's not the only one. You'll hear it from guys periodically. You'd rather be in this position than not. Even when things are really crappy or they don't play well, you're still just two wins away from the NBA Finals. And now you're talking about a chance to go best of three and then tip off against the winner of the West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so if you haven't checked out our new poll on social media, well, I'll expand on it a little bit more. But the hashtag ride or die is the one that I want you to use if you want to respond. If, there's a big if, of course, this is hypothetical because we don't know yet, but if the Celtics and Cavaliers battle to a game seven, do you ride or die with LeBron James in a closeout game? Or do you ride or die with the Celtics who haven't lost at home in these playoffs? You know there's going to be a crazy, nutso, over-the-top crowd in Boston the same way there was in Cleveland.
Goodbye, King James.
Thank you, Mike Inglis, weighing in from the peanut gallery. And we already know that Cleveland is, despite the fact that they've evened up the series, to fall behind 0-2, the odds are not ever in your favor. I mean, only 20 teams out of 300 have ever dropped the first two games of a series and come back to win that series. Now, it is LeBron James. He's trying to go to his eighth straight NBA Finals. But only 20 teams out of 300. And I love that we get to use all of our fun cliches about game five, right? The ever critical, pivotal, crucial, oh so important game five in a tie series. Now, the thing is, I can't remember the exact percentage. It's something like 82 to 85%, somewhere in that range. That's the number. Roughly, don't quote me. In fact, you may be able to Google it quicker than I can because I'm not going to Google it while I'm on the air still. But that's somewhere, roughly, that's the number. It's like between 80 and 85% of the time, the winner of game five in a tie series goes on to win. So something's got to give. What's it going to be? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some fantastic news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you go to geico.com in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Now, coming up on Tuesday night, we'll get back to the West. I applaud you, NBA. Now we're actually going to swap. Every other night, there will be a conference final game until the series are over. Unlike the first week. Now, I was on vacation, so at least the NBA was accommodating my vacation so that the conference finals weren't going on every night and I didn't have to watch them on vacation. But the scheduling was still ridiculous. It's because there were guarantees between the NBA and the TV networks that there would be games on the weekend. And so regardless, they had to move the games back to accommodate their TV commitments.
That's ridiculous, man.
It certainly ridiculous. But now here we are into the second week of the conference finals. And we're only four games deep. Second week of the conference finals, and they're alternating every other night. So until the series are over, that includes all the way through Memorial Day weekend, we will get a game every other night in each conference. And essentially, that means that you can figure it out when we would get game five, game six, game seven between the Celtics and the Cavaliers. But up next will be the Rockets and the Warriors. And I'm not sure if you saw this. Andre Iguodala, who's been in the starting lineup for the Warriors as part of their death lineup or their Hamptons 5 lineup. I think small lineup is apropos. Anyway, he's listed as doubtful, actually, for game 4. So he wouldn't be able to start. Duh. He has a left leg bruise. So he and James Harden banged knees in their game on Sunday night, which is ouch. He did have an x-ray on Monday, and good for him, it came back clean, but he's still listed as doubtful for Monday. Now, you may look at his stat line and not be blown away, and that's fine. He's averaging just under 9 points and about 4 rebounds per game. But the thing is, he very often is matched up with James Harden defensively when he's out there. He's one of their best on-ball defenders, also one of their best man-on-man defenders. And so to not have him means that they kind of have to shuffle that whole lineup, not to mention they have to shuffle their rotation. Let's talk to Terrell, who's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to After Hours. You got about 60 seconds. Go.
This is me?
Yes, sir.
Hello. So I got LeBron taking the Cavs to 7, and it's going to be really hard to bet against. It doesn't matter if it's on the road. We've seen this in the finals from him. And I got them to go to the big game to go against Golden State to get swept this time. They're not going to let him get one game.
Well, so so what happened? It's really hard to bet against him in a closeout game.
Well,
you're just saying against the Celtics, not against the West.
Yes, against the Celtics, yes. In this series with the 2-2 split.
Yeah, I gotcha. It is definitely, not only does he play well against Boston and historically played well against Boston, not even this group, but also he's really comfortable in all of the arenas in the East because he's got so much experience there. I mean, this is nothing new to him. He enjoys the hostile atmosphere, and he's played in Boston so many times that it's not home, but it's pretty darn close.
Absolutely. And he's had some of his biggest games there, whether mm-hmm. he's playing for Miami or for the Cavs.
Right. Absolutely.
And, I'll just say this is the most questionable team he's had since the 07 Cavs. So we all really don't know what to expect. This is really
true.
By the seat of their pants, they're producing or not producing.
That's true. You're right. And also defensively a bit of a liability, though they did play pretty strong defense in these last two games in Cleveland. I was impressed with their game fourth quarter D and how they were diving all over the court and the hustle stats. They were piling up the hustle stats. That's awesome. All right, 1 hour down. Take our polls. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.